But it truly is an honor to be back here with all of you and to be sharing. And I know that y'all are praying and trusting the Lord for Brother Jack to get back here, and I sure am as well. Tonight, the title of the message, I want to make sure y'all understand what the... Because I asked Miss Robin, I said, Miss Robin, do you know what that means? And she says, well, not entirely. So I want to make sure y'all know what I'm talking about here. The title is, Our Infinite God versus Finite Man. And infinite means there are no limitations with God. He is limitless. And His wisdom, His knowledge, His power, His might, everything. Now, you know, we say that a lot of times because it's the Christian thing to say. I think we get kind of tied up sometimes in what I call Christianese. If you're with me now, Christianese. You know, we use Christian terms, we say Christian things and all this. And yet when we hit the fan of life, you know, those terms don't mean a whole lot. And I couldn't believe what Brother Bruce was leading us in the worship tonight. I said, you had no idea what I was going to be talking on. And yet everything that we sing is exactly what I'm going to be sharing about. Is that fascinating or what? Yes. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Turn there with me if you would. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Here we go. Trust in the Lord with most of your heart. No. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And do not lean on your own understanding. In most of your ways. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight most of the time. Huh? However, the truth of the matter is that for many of us, in the jocular fashion that I read that, is the way, unfortunately, we actually believe that, isn't it? Huh? Is that right or what? Yeah. Now, why is that so? Why is that so? Well, I think one of the chief reasons is because of fear. And we know that 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 7 says that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. A sound mind. I had a very interesting experience last year, and my family and I were incredibly blessed to go to Europe, and God provided the whole thing. And I speak and read German. Actually, I read it rather than I speak it, but I was trying to speak it, and you know, with these Christians there and at the castle in Millstadt, and these Christians were from a town called Siegen in western Germany. And so anyway, I was quoting 2 Timothy 1:7. And in German, their Z's are pronounced like T's, like eats, hots, you know that S sound? And their S's are pronounced like our Z's. So I'm reading this passage and I'm tired. And my southern accent starts to come out. And the word for sound mind in German is spelled Z-U-C-H-T. And you're supposed to pronounce it tsucht, tsucht. Well, unfortunately, when I got to it, I was lazy, and I said, Zucht, which to them is spelled S-U-C-H-T and means addiction. And they roared. So I said, God, in German, I said, God's not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and addiction. I had some other bloopers too, but you know, that's not what God's given us. Fear brings addiction. Fear does bring addiction. Because fear is Satan's attempt to cause us to embrace his lie. And his lie is that you cannot trust God. You better take it into your own hands. All the things that we sang tonight, we're saying, no, we do trust you, Lord. We come weak, we're going to follow you. You're our source, you're our strength, Lord. We trust you. We trust you. We trust you. But it is a scary thing. And I want to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, we have to pass through veils of fear. We do. We have to pass through veils of fear every day. There are different types of veils, and sometimes we don't even realize that's what's happening because it's so innate with us to be afraid and to give in to the fear and to respond and do what the fear dictates us to do. Is that interesting or what? And the fear dictates to us to do that which is diametrically and antithetically opposed to what God would have us to do, because we just don't believe God can. I've used this illustration before about the chicken with its head cut off, right? Y'all remember that, right? Well, that's really what we are. How many of you have ever seen a chicken's head wrong? How many never have? Oh, you got to, I need to tell y'all then. Y'all haven't heard this. How many have you ever heard? How many have not heard me use that illustration? Well, some of you, okay. Well, I'll tell you, since you haven't, you need to hear it. Because it's a great spiritual truth. I was 6 years old. My aunt took me up the Mississippi Delta, and she lived up there. She was a great cook. She cooked some of the best fried chicken you've ever put in your mouth. It was incredible. And she'd have all the trimmings, butter beans, rice and chicken gravy, and hot buttered cornbread. Oh, my lands. Okra, tomatoes, fresh tomatoes. Corn on the cob. Are y'all getting hungry? But I never put together, and I saw those chickens out there in the chicken coop, and I saw the chicken on the table fried, but I never put the connection how they got there. So she takes me out there one day. She said, come with me. She opens that chicken coop, goes in there and grabs that hen, one of those hens, like this. You know, this is the chicken that's running around like this, and she goes like that. That thing's just kicking and, you know, wings are flapping. She brings it outside and shuts the door to the kitchen coop. You know, the little wire door there. We go outside and she gets out there in the middle of her yard. And I can see her today. She grabs that hen like this. This is the hen's body. And it's kicking at me. And she goes, wow, wow. I'm not going to throw the bottle because here. Pow! Pops that thing and that head hits that chicken hits the ground and it runs around without a head. I'm like this, you know, I had never seen anything like that. And all of a sudden, boom, it just falls over. Now, you've heard the expression, though, most of you have, probably, so-and-so is running around like a chicken with its head cut off. How many of you have ever heard that? Probably never knew where that thing came from. That's where it comes from, because that's exactly what happens. They don't have a head. They don't have a head. And when that head is gone, that chicken is virtually dead. It's dead. I mean, it is dead. And all that's doing is its nervous energy is just making it run around like that. But it's dead. Ladies and gentlemen, when we allow fear to grip our hearts and our lives and our decisions are made based on that fear, meaning we're believing what the fear is telling us, we are a dead chicken. Literally. We're expanding all kinds of energy and we're going absolutely nowhere. Now, to say that God is infinite, to say that He is all-powerful. We repeat that, but you know what? When the rubber hits the road, when the water hits the wheel, when the pig begins to squeal, when those things start happening, then we really find out where we are in our heart, do we not? Now, it takes, quite frankly, God bringing us to the end of ourselves, to where we don't have those props that we look to, you see. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. That word trust in the Hebrew, there are several words that are used, but this particular word here means, I'll tell you what it means. It was years ago when our oldest three daughters were young. We went on a trip. We were out here in California. We went up to Sequoia. It was a great trip. And we went down this hill, and we got down at the bottom, and we had our three youngest daughters, oldest daughters. And so we had to go back up, and they were all tired. So I had my oldest daughter in my arms and the youngest daughter on my back. And my wife was carrying our second daughter. And we were up that hill. I felt like a pack mule. By the time I got up there, oh, I unloaded them. I mean, I was tired. I was exhausted. You know, I was sweating like a stuck pig bleeds. I mean, it was really. That's another. You all know what that means? You don't know what that means either? Well, let me explain that real quick. Years and years ago, when people didn't have the freezing units, especially in rural areas like we do today, in the winter, they'd kill hogs. And they'd kill the hog, and they'd cut it up, and they'd put put salt all over the meat and put it in sawdust and bury it under the ground, and that would preserve the meat. And in the wintertime, because it's cold, the ground freezes, the meat's preserved in that salt with that sawdust around it. But here's what you do. And y'all have never seen this. You shoot a hog in the head, and a lot of people did that with a .22, or they take a club and boom, hit it with a hammer or something, kill the hog. That's what happens. Sorry, that's what happens. You know, I know you. That's how it gets on your table. It doesn't just walk there voluntarily. But then when they would do that, they would string that hog up by its hind feet on a. They have like a thing here, and you get a pulley and you raise it up there and you slit its throat. And you let all the blood drain out. And that blood, I'm sorry, man, this lady's over here getting sick. I'm sorry. That's what happens. That's how we eat our meat. That's how it comes about. Anyway, that blood pours out profusely. I mean, it just gushes out. And so that's where you get the expression, somebody's sweating like a stuck pig bleeds, because you stuck it in the throat. Now you understand, right? Okay. So anyway, I was really hot. And I was sweating very profusely. So when I unloaded my daughters, oh my goodness, it felt like, oh, you know, I could breathe. I mean, oh, it felt good. Ladies and gentlemen, that's what that word trust means. It means you let go of it. You let it roll off of you. You release it. Now, I want to tell you, the enemy through fear is going to come back and try to make you grab it. And the all your heart part, this is what God showed me one day when I was going through that. Satan kept attacking me with fear, and I finally said, because I was trying to beat the fear with my own strength. And you know what? I was getting eat up and spit out. I mean, another expression, he was all over me like white on rice. Y'all know what that means? You know, if you look at white rice, where's the white? All over it. So Satan was all over me. I mean, he was coming to me from every side, every angle, every direction, every emotion that I had. And I finally said, Satan, just come on, just bring it on. There's nothing I can do, come on. And I just started worshiping the Lord in the midst of it, just praising Him, just magnifying Him. And as I did that, I didn't feel tinglies in my tummy, but God sustained me. And when I went and sat down, this oppressiveness lifted. And the Lord, in that particular instance, just spoke to me and said, you've won. And so, ladies and gentlemen, I want to tell you that to trust the Lord with all your heart is not an easy thing to do. It is not going to go unchallenged. Are you with me? I want you to be prepared for this. Now, you know, I've been in martial arts for many years, and I've been an instructor, and since I had my hip surgery, I haven't done much with it. I've done just a little bit the last few months, just doing a little sparring, real light sparring. But one of the significant things is that many years ago, 14 years ago, I got jumped outside my church in Colorado Springs. About 20 guys tried to jump me. And I tell people I had three things in my favor. Number one, the Lord was with me. Most importantly, number two, I did know how to defend myself. And number three, they were all basically cowards. So I had those three things in my favor. That's the first time in my life. Growing up in the South, I never in a gang fight. I mean, if a guy wanted to fight you and had his buddies, he would have been the absolute scourge if his buddies came in there after if he was getting beat and they didn't fought for him. They would have thought, this guy's an absolute total coward. He's worthless. They just stood there and watched it, and they picked him up and carried him off if he lost, or they congratulated if he won. That was the way it was. So I'd never been in this thing where all these people come at you at once. It was a very interesting situation. However, it was very real. And had the Lord not been with me, had I not known how to defend myself, and had those guys had guns or knives or chains or lead pipes or anything else like that, I might not be standing here today. But I was able to defend myself and was able to come out of it. Now, let me tell you something. That came at me in a way I wasn't expecting that, but I knew what to do. Are you with me? Because I'd been trained. You see what I'm saying? And I'd been trained and had some, you know, and then years later, when after that, I continued the training and have continued it on. But, ladies and gentlemen, listen to me very carefully. If you're not training yourself personally in the Word of God, and I don't mean sitting up and reading a verse in the morning before you go to work and that's it, that's not training. Now, I don't know how many of y'all have ever seen that advertisement for Bowflex. Y'all ever seen that thing? Huh? Yeah. And that guy and that gal, they come out there, and they probably, between both of them, don't have more than 4% body fat. Do y'all think? You ever seen? I mean, they're tight. I mean, they, good night. They're so cut, it's incredible. And the impression given you is that that's how they got to looking like that, huh? Let me tell you how they got to looking like that. By spending hours in a gym using free weight. Mm-hmm. And ladies and gentlemen, it was an assiduously followed diet. Ooh, isn't that exciting? Very low carbs, only enough for energy. High protein, absolutely no sweets. Aren't you ready to jump into that plan now? Huh? Plenty of rest, etc. Well, that's how it really happened. That's how they really got to looking like that. And so to come across and advertise this Bowflex thing, and this, you know, that's just, and I hope, not, you know, maybe some of you have Bowflex, and that's great. And I would encourage you to use it diligently. But I will tell you, you will not get to looking like that using Bowflex. It will help you, but you will not be looking like that. Now, ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you something. To face the battles that we're facing as a nation today, and I'm so excited for you guys as God's moving along with the plans for the new church and school and all different things like that. That's just so exciting, and I just praise the Lord and thrill for you. But we're facing a lot of incredible challenges today in our country. We're facing it. We're facing a very anti-God, anti-Christ. We're facing things that have abrogated the Constitution and the Bill of Rights. That is, they've nullified and set them aside, making their own way. We have perversion. We have people that literally want to take away the freedom of speech. And I might add, this one bill that's recently passed in the Senate, and I think perhaps it's going to the House now. I don't know if they voted on it, the McCain-Feingold bill. And it's hard for me to believe that John McCain would even author something like that, where you cannot speak out and express, I mean, you know, different groups like Reclaim America, anybody like that, cannot actually tell you where these guys stand within the last 90 days before the election. Now, that's sick. That's just one little example. In our schools, maybe many of you heard recently about this. Now, Reform Judaism, I must tell you, is like liberal Christianity. They don't believe in anything. But this Reformed synagogue up in New York that has a school has decided to do away with Mother's Day. Do you know why? Because they have I can't call them gay. They have a queer individual, a man. And I want to say this. If there are any of you here tonight struggling in that area, I sympathize with you. Because you know what? My heterosexual sin is as egregious to God as any homosexual sin. But there's nothing gay about being homosexual. In fact, there's nothing gay about being a fornicator or adulterer, is there? Huh? No. Nothing gay about it. There's nothing happy about it. It gives pleasure for the time being, but I tell you what, it's kind of like those of y'all who ever saw Indiana Jones, remember that? And finally that guy that Nazi opened up the Ark of the Covenant. Remember those angels that came out of there, and they're beautiful looking at first, and they turn to these horrid skeletons. That's what sin is when it comes to collect the payment. Huh? But anyway, so they did away with Mother's Day because there was a guy there who was a homosexual who was raising a boy, and it offended him, and they didn't want him to be offended, so they've done away with Mother's Day. Recently, a professor at Princeton University, several years ago, this same professor, his name is Springer, wrote a paper advocating that parents should be able to dispose of their children up to 2 years of age, especially if their children are born deformed or something like that. It's because of what we call postnatal abortion. He most recently came out with another paper advocating that we do away with the laws prohibiting and condemning bestiality. He said that's one of the last sexual taboos that we need to do away with. In the state of Maine, there's a gentleman there who was filing suit against the state to be allowed to marry his dog. Marry his dog. Maybe you remember those two, that couple up in San Francisco they had these two mastiffs. They're watching them, and I think there was some prisoner. There were these couple, they were lawyers, attorneys, and they got away and mauled this one woman and killed her. You remember that? Do you know what they were doing with those dogs? Guess. They were committing bestiality with them. They were having sex with those dogs. So, ladies and gentlemen, I'm telling you, we're in a society today that's incredibly sick. In San Diego, recently in the middle school, a principal sent out a thing just, you know, encouraging the people to pray. Some people in the school got really upset because he said the word pray and he had to write an apology back. Apologize. He didn't say, you know, he wasn't advocating, he wasn't coming across preaching Jesus Christ. He just said pray. Now I'm going to tell you what. Here's the other side of the coin. No longer can you and I roll over anymore. We need to fight this stuff tooth and nail, but where we need to first of all fight it, ladies and gentlemen, is you're going to have to be imbued and you're going to have to ingest God's Word as you never have before. Secondly, you're going to have to be a people that is committed to trust the Lord, not methods, not schemes, but the Lord. And thirdly, you're going to have to take a stand for truth. You're going to have to write your senators and congressmen. I think I've given this website before, but let me do it again. Focus on the family. My two sons-in-law in Colorado Springs work for them. They have an incredible website. It's www.citizenlink.org. Citizenlink.org. And it has in there every United States congressman, both House and Senate. It has their names, their bios, their fax, email, phone number, everything. It has also every state legislator, every state legislature is listed, and every state legislator, both in their House and Senate, is also listed. Plus, it has the major bills that are before the House. So it's a great resource to apprise yourself of what's going on. But ladies and gentlemen, we need to address this. I don't know if y'all get Press Enterprise. How many of you get the Press Enterprise? Y'all don't get that up here? Maybe that's just down over here. Well, for the National Day of Prayer, do you know what they had on their cover story about that? You know the National Day of Prayer was obviously a Christian thing and all that. What did they have? What was the lead picture they had? Anybody, you remember, ma'am? It was a picture of a Hindu woman. Now, I want to tell you that there are some major things going on in our nation, in the public schools and elsewhere, and you must take a stand, ladies and gentlemen. I firmly believe in the return of Jesus Christ. I preach it, I exhort people, but listen. God did not tell you to be obsessed with trying to figure out when He's coming. Just know that He is. But what He did tell you to be involved with is being salt and light right now. When the disciples were pressing Jesus, when are you going to restore the kingdom? Are you going to do it now? Acts 1, 6 and verse 7, He says, it's not for you to know the times and the epochs that are in the Father's hands. But when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, then you shall be my witnesses. In Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the world. You see, that's what God's called us to be. He's going to take care of us coming in. It's like the questions we get periodically on the radio about hyper-Calvinism. And, you know, they get into all this stuff that really goes beyond the Bible and it begins to be cultic almost. Not evangelical Calvinism, that of Charles Spurgeon, George Whitfield, and many today, godly men pursuing the Lord, but hyper-Calvinism, which is cultic, like hyper-Pentecostalism or hyper-Arminianism, that, you know, you're saved, lost, saved, lost, saved, lost. It's a works thing. Well, hyper-Calvinism is the same way, and there's no choice, and, you know, you just kind of bump along there, and you don't do anything. That's not God. That's not Bible. But it's very significant, however, that many times we as Christians embrace that kind of fatalistic thinking without even realizing we're doing it. You see, God is sovereign without question. We are to trust Him implicitly. But ladies and gentlemen, you know what that trust also involves? That trust also involves going into the lion's den. Huh? Are you with me? It involves us getting up and moving forward, trusting the Lord every step of the way. But this idea, and I think for many of us, it has become an escape. And I mean that in the negative sense. Oh, Lord Jesus, come quickly. We just leave. I pray that too. I'm ready. But listen, as Paul had to warn the Thessalonians, he that does not work will not eat. So yes, we're looking for His coming. We're anticipating His coming. We anxiously look for it. But listen, until then, we need to be out being the salt and light that God called us to be. Are you with me? And so in trusting the Lord here, listen, and trusting the Lord in taking a stand and calling good, good, and evil, evil, it's going to be scary. But God has called you and He's called me to do that very thing. In your workplace, in school, wherever you are, He has called us to stay, not to roll over anymore. In fact, I was listening to a radio commentator talking about some of this stuff in the schools, and they were saying, hey, you know what? We need to file a suit against this stuff. Because, ladies and gentlemen, if you just roll over, they're going to take everything away from you. And so we need to be out there aggressively standing for the truth, preaching the truth, ministering the truth in every way we can, because you never know. You just never know. You need to be ready to speak the word in season and out of season, trusting the Lord with all your heart. Look at the next part. Do not lean to your own understanding. You see, when I say that God is infinite and all power and all knowledge and all provision, He really is. But again, we have to come to the end of ourselves, do we not, to really discover that. As long as we have our props, be they intellectual, be they material, be whatever they may be, we tend to lean on those, don't we? Which really involves us leaning on our own understanding. Are you with me? Now, the Bible is not telling you to be some imbecilic twit. And that is, what I mean by that, there's nothing spiritual about being ignorant and uninformed. There are some places and some people who have tended to give the impression that to be ignorant and uninformed is a spiritual thing to be. I tell you, the only thing to be ignorant and uninformed does, it gets you enslaved, it gets you in bondage, it gets you in a cult, it gets you to be manipulated and exploited. I one time had a guy who was arguing with me, and they were because I was emphasizing the fact of the Word of God as the foundation of our life and everything we do. But upon that foundation, we need to add history. You need to read current events. You need to be aware philosophically of where people are coming from. Know what Marxism is about. Know what dialectical materialism is about. It's hard to believe that they're still communists, but there are people today that don't call themselves that. They call themselves new thinkers here. They call themselves, many of them, don't get me wrong in this, some of them, they call themselves even Democrats. Now, I know you may not like that. If you're a Democrat, don't get up and leave. But indeed, I'm telling you the truth. And I'm sure there are probably some Republicans like that. But we have people today who are embracing belief systems that you better know what they're talking about. You know, the Bible teaches philosophy and it teaches psychology. Did you know that? The book of Proverbs is a book of psychology. But it's biblical psychology. The Bible is full of philosophy, but it's biblical philosophy. Philosophy means nothing more or nothing less than the love of wisdom. What kind of wisdom? Worldly wisdom or godly wisdom? See, there's a worldly psychology and there's a godly psychology. The worldly psychology teaches you that you're sufficient in and of yourselves to live for yourself, to work out your own problems, because you just have to realize you are who you are. You're your own God. You're good all over. You know what that is? That's nothing more than Brahmanism, which is Hinduism, which teaches you that once you realize yourself, the self is all that there is, it's the totality of life, and so that the ultimate goal of that is realizing that you are what you've always been, that is God. You discover the self. Now, that is utterly corrupt, you see. But ladies and gentlemen, that's what our kids are getting today in the schools. Are you with me? We're talking about becoming aggressive. So, not to lean to your understanding is not saying be an ignorant, imbecilic twit and not know what's going on. But it does mean this. It means that you realize, Lord, by my might and my power and by my reason, I'm not going to overcome anybody. But, oh, God, I want to be as well-read. I want to be, as well-read in the Word as well, because this is the filter, ladies and gentlemen. If you don't have this as the filter in your life, then you'll end up calling good evil and evil good. Huh? Yeah. So I'm saying this, you need to ingest this, and then you need to use this as a filter as you go out there and apprise yourself of what's going on in the world with it today. Are y'all with me? You need to read the paper. You need to be aware of what's going on. For us to be a light in the midst of darkness and to be salt in this very decaying, rapidly degenerative world that we live in our country. But to not lean to your own understanding, means, Lord, I take your word as it is. Lord, I believe your word. I trust the promises that are there. I accept it, O God, by faith. The Lord has allowed me to have some education. But one of the things I've learned with all my learning is that I don't know anything. I've learned that I can never stop learning. And I have learned that no matter how much I think I learn, I still don't outknow God. Are you with me? All that learning is subjected to God's word and applying it to the truth that is here. Are you with me? You see? And so to not lean to your own understanding, again, I say this again the third time, it doesn't mean that you are an imbecilic twit who, you know, I don't know anything and ignorance is bliss. Ignorance is not bliss. Ignorance is enslavement. But with all the learning, all the background that many of you have here, listen, if you lean on that, you're going to be into that, you know, Satan is going to just eat you up and spit you out. You're going to come to a place in your life where it's going to all be very dry, where you can repeat the words, but they have no life. You know the doctrine, but it's like powder. Because when push comes to shove, as I said, when the water hits the wheel, when the pig begins to squeal, then you're going to find out where you really are, and you're going to be ruled by fear versus faith and trusting his word. So not to lean to understanding, again, the fourth time, does not mean that you don't read and study and learn and apply, but it means that your source of faith, your source of direction is the word of God and the promises that are therein. Look at the next verse. In all of your ways acknowledge him. Ooh. Ooh. What that means is that in all of your ways, literally in the Hebrew, know him. Know him. See, that's a little bit different than acknowledge. Okay, God, I acknowledge you here. I acknowledge you there. No. Know him in all of your ways. Know him. Intimately, personally. Know what God is saying to you about your finances. Know what God is saying to you about your job. Know what God is saying to you about the relationships you have with people on your job, or your wife, or your husband, or your children, or other family members, in-laws, neighbors, etc. Are you with me? Know what God is saying. Know God and his word and his truth as it applies to our nation, to our country politically, to all of the various and sundry things that are going on out there. Know him. Know his truth. That's what it means. Know his truth in all of your ways. Does that make it a little bit clearer? Does that kind of make it jump out? Does that kind of make it grab you, make it a little more real? Know his ways in all of your ways. Know his truth. Know his wisdom in all of your ways, in every way that you're going. Not some ways, most ways, all of your ways, every way of life. Now that will not come spending hours watching TV. Will it? Now I like to watch TV. What I watch mostly is the Fox News station, and I watch the History station, and I watch MSNBC. That's basically what I watch. But because I want to be apprised, I love history. What can I say? But I also must admit, I do watch the Lakers. Although I'm a jazz fan, I don't throw anything at me. But I, because I used to be the New Orleans Jazz, and I like Karl Malone and that stuff. But anyway, but I do like sports. I must tell you that, ladies. I do watch the sports. I like that. But what I'm saying to you, and you understand what I'm saying. You see, if you're going to be ready then there's going to have to be a sacrifice. There's going to have to be a sacrifice. You're going to have to set aside time to be in the Word. You're going to have to set aside time to read. And listen, I know our schedules are busy. Mine is incredibly busy. But you have to make that time. There are going to be things you're going to have to set aside. You're going to have to set your priorities. Number one, your walk with the Lord first. Secondly, is your family. If you're married and have children, wife and children, husband and children, ministering to your family, that's the second most important thing you can do. Thirdly, your job as you provide for your family. Fourthly, ministering to others here in the church, being involved. And then on down the line. But maintaining our priorities and what really is important and what God's called us to do is so significant. That is, know Him in all your ways. Know His truth. Know what He's calling you to do in all of your ways, whatever the ways may be. And then lastly but not least, and He will make what? Your paths straight. Is that good or what? Huh? Is that good or what? Yes, that's good. He's going to make your path straight. Why? Because you're trusting Him. Are you with me? You're trusting Him. You're knowing Him in all of your ways. You're not trying to figure it out. I see what the Bible says, but. I see what God's Word says, but. I'm going to do this. I see it. And He tells me to wait, but no, I don't want to wait. I want to do this. You're becoming a dead chicken. You really are. You're expanding all kinds of energy, and you're going absolutely nowhere. You are a dead chicken. But I want to warn you, as you begin to walk in this way and apply this to your life, Satan is going to attack you. He is not going to let it go unchallenged. And you need to realize his scheme is fear. That's his most effective tool. Fear. Jealousy. That's based on fear. It all comes back to fear. See? And you need to pray, Lord, give me great discernment that I may see through Satan's lie. And that I will not embrace his lie through his fear. And the lie is I can't trust God. Can't wait on the Lord. Jealousy. What an insidious thing. Resentment. Again, based on fear. You're jealous because somebody has got something that you don't, or they've been recognized and you haven't, and your sense of identity is wanting to be known by other people, and you're afraid if you're not known by others, you're not going to be anybody. See what that's based on? It's fear, isn't it? Oh, what a glorious truth. Jesus made himself of no reputation. Made himself of no reputation. What freedom that is. Versus to be a slave driven by fear that you have to make a reputation for yourself to be known. Because if you don't make other people know how wonderful you are, you won't get ahead. You got to do all this before men. What's going to happen is you're not really going to do your very best. Are you going to do just enough? And you may even compromise to do before men. Thinking men are going to reward you. But you know what? Men will stab you in the back. Is that right or what? You see, God's called you to do what you do as unto Him, Colossians 3, 23 and 24. Whatever you do, do heartily as unto the Lord, not unto men. Because from the Lord you're going to receive the reward of the inheritance. So, I just want to encourage you with these words from this simple little passage here. And that God will take this tonight and just minister in your heart, encourage you, bless you, give you insight, direction to trust Him. Let's pray. Father, how we just want to thank you tonight that without question, you are indeed the very, very same, yesterday, today, and forever, unchanging. And Lord, we just ask that you'll take this, your word tonight. Lord, just enable us to walk in trust and confidence in you. to rearrange our priorities, Lord, our reading your word, abiding in it. Lord, to allow you to exercise our mind to read and to know, and Lord, that we might truly be that light and that salt. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.
Let's all stand together. Trusting it, right?
Your love, O Lord, reaches to the heavens. Your faithfulness stretches to the skies. Your you